happening in Gaza. They're freezing. They're trying not to solve the problem. Yesterday I was in a taxi car, and the taxi driver even surprised me with a sentence he said. He simply stated that what's really strange about Gazans, and what is very strong about Gazans, is the following, is that whenever they have a problem, they don't just try to solve the problem, but they actually try to adapt to this problem. And this is what we're witnessing right now. People do suffer an aggression, but they're not trying to just find an end to the aggression or leave their houses, evacuate and stay there. They're trying to adapt with the situation they're already living in. Right now, it's getting very busy on my right side, as the smoke is covering the entire sky. It is a lot of smoke is right behind Al-Shifa Hospital. Until now, I don't have confirmed information where this bombing has took place. The sky is turning black. As you can see in the pictures, it's a lot of smoke right behind a hospital. Just imagine this amount of smoke right next to a hospital, pollution right next to a hospital, while injuries do need a healthy and safe place. There is information, I cannot confirm it, but so far I was told that this is an explosion in a factory in West Gaza. The amount of smoke is reasonable to come out of a factory that was actually bombed.
And interesting you said that about the factory. We know that it appears that Israel has attacked different factories and places where people were working throughout this onslaught, besides also the infrastructure itself. Let me cross back over to Madison, Wisconsin. I believe that we have Kevin Barrett back on the line. Kevin, we were looking at overall the sense of basically how the rules can be changed depending on who the victim is and who is the aggressor. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was saying that international law today is really a smokescreen for the crimes of the powerful against the less powerful. And that's true, actually, of all international institutions, including the United Nations. The international system today is not democratic, it's not fair, it's completely constructed by the global power elites. And, of course, the Zionist faction of the global power elite is a very, very powerful faction. So they're using their stranglehold over these international institutions to continue with their genocide on Gaza. And they're failing because the world is changing. Today we have free, independent media exploding around the world. The mainstream media is slowly going out of business here in the USA, and more people are tuning into outlets like Press TV and understanding what's really going on. This has left the extremist, radical, Likudnik faction of the Zionists, headed by Netanyahu, in a terrible quandary because they are dedicated to supposedly eliminating the armed resistance from Palestine, but they simply can't do that without eliminating Palestine. The resistance has the right to resist under international law, and there's simply no way to completely stop them from all forms of resistance. Mm-hmm. So he's got a losing proposition, and the only thing he can do is take out his anger and take revenge on the Palestinian people for continuing to exercise their right of resistance. And every day that this goes on, the world loses patience with these policies. So Netanyahu has lost big by this incursion in Gaza in the same way that he and the Israelis lost last time they went after Hezbollah in Lebanon. And I think we're going to see a continually evolving change in global public opinion and in the world balance of power as more and more sympathy develops for the people of Palestine. Mm-hmm. The world gets fed up with Zionist genocide.
Well, what about, Kevin, in that paradigm that you're talking about, do you think that we're seeing the waning of Israeli power, that we're making a shift in that?
Well, yes, it's being undermined sort of invisibly beneath the surface. At the surface level here in the United States, the Zionists still dominate the big political, financial, and journalistic institutions, as we've seen by things like the U.S. Senate voting unanimously to support genocide in Palestine, and the media has essentially been marching largely in lockstep with the Zionists, although less so than in previous situations. But beneath the surface, in the nooks and crannies of society and the political world, we're seeing this shift happening, including in Jewish public opinion here in the United States. The Jewish community had been stampeded into supporting Israel by Holocaust fear propaganda and other kinds of propaganda. And now the truth is seeping in through the cracks thanks to the alternative media, and more and more American Jews are turning against Zionism, or at least developing a healthy skepticism of Zionism and a hatred of the worst of the Zionist atrocities. And that's their power base. And so they're losing their power base. They're losing the young people, including Jewish young people. Polls show that the Israelis have the support of old Americans, over 65, by a massive margin, but they have lost the support of the young Americans by an equally massive margin.
Okay.
So history is not on their side. Time is not on their side. And by perpetrating these pointless, militarily useless, strategically senseless atrocities in Palestine, all they're doing is digging their own grave.
Well, what about that, Stephen Lynn, then, that time is not on the side of the Israeli regime? As Kevin has rightly pointed out, when we look at the statistics, polls that have even been taken inside of the United States, especially if we're looking at the 20-something generation age group, that overwhelmingly that they get their news more and more now from the social networks or social media, the internet itself, and alternative media as compared to the older Americans. Do you agree with his analysis?
Yes, Kevin, you make some excellent points, and I largely agree with what you say. On the other hand, world public opinion is one thing. This conflict at some point will end. Something else will grab headlines. People forget. They worry about other things. They focus on what's making the headlines today. It's happened so many times in the past. So even with the internet, with Facebook, with Twitter, so on and so forth, with young people different from old people, we'll have to wait and see. Will mindsets really change? Will action against Israeli crimes really take place? I've got to see it to believe it. The street is one thing. World community, people in power with power to do something is quite another issue altogether, and they're very much on the side of Israel. And look at the influence America has. America funds Israel's killing machine with U.S. tax dollars. After the November 2012 Israeli Operation Pillar of Cloud aggression, both sides agreed, brokered by then Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, to end all hostilities. Hamas agreed to the letter. Israel agreed to open the borders, to allow free movement of people and goods. Straight away, Israel violated all terms of the agreement multiple times daily. Multiple times daily. Was anything done about it? Nothing. There'll be something to end this conflict. There'll be something put together, patchwork on paper. It won't mean anything, but there'll be something done. Will it mean anything? It'll mean very, very little. Israel will violate the terms again. It'll get away with it. This is what concerns me. And again, the headlines change from day to day. As long as a story like Israel is in the daily mainstream news, people pay attention. But now it's ISIS or ISIL in Iraq. It'll be something else. People will forget.
Well, Stephen, how important, let me just jump in here then. Stephen, how important is our job, those in the internal, in alternative media, to try to make sure that this story, as so many others, should stay in the eyes of those looking for the truth? Because as this transitioning is happening, as more and more people are turning to the alternative options, doesn't that put our responsibility even more to make sure, as the mainstream media tries to take the attention of the viewers or the readers elsewhere, that we make sure we bring it back where it should be?
Absolutely, Marcia. And I stress this in my writing and on my own radio program, which goes on for the first time live since I took ill in June, goes on live at noon following this program. I stress getting away from the major media scoundrels, as I like to call them. And that includes television, the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, my own Chicago Tribune, and pay attention to Press TV and the other alternative media. If you want to know what's going on, those are the places that you have to go to get the truth that the major media scoundrels suppress. More and more people are doing it, but change happens slowly, Marzia. We have to be patient. I think eventually we, the good people on the right side of the issues, will win the battle. But I'm not a kid anymore. I'm almost 80 years old. Well, I live long enough to see it. I hope I see real change. I work every day for it. And now that I'm getting better, I'm devoting myself to it. It's the tonic. It gets me even better. It's therapeutic. And being on this program, on my own program, having other interviews, spreading important truths, telling people, tell other people about it, spread the truths to other people. That's the only way the world can change. It never changes from the top down. It's always from the bottom up, Isaiah.
Okay, and viewers, you're looking at live images out of Gaza. It seemed like there was another explosion just now as we're watching the billowing smoke continue in the Gaza Strip, and last that we heard, possibly a factory that has been attacked. Let's cross back over to Gaza and see if Hala Al-Safadi has any more information and tell us exactly what's going on still on the ground in Gaza. Hala.
Well, what was bombed is confirmed to be a factory, cleaning equipment and supplies factory. Until now, Al-Shifa Hospital is receiving more injuries. Just right now, an ambulance behind me reached Al-Shifa Hospital with another injury. Until the moment, we can see the smoke. It seems like it was a very huge explosion. This is the latest right now from Gaza. Hopefully, we'll be able to take you inside of Al-Shifa Hospital to see even more about of those injuries.
Well, Hala, as I was saying before, if it is a factory, as you've just confirmed, it is not the first one that has been hit. I mean, do you agree that it seems that definitely the places that could actually provide the Gazans with a place to work or factories or such type that they have definitely been targeted during this 1 month, more than a month?
Well, I have no doubt about that. On my way to Rafah, to Khuza'a, to South Gaza or North Gaza, I have witnessed the huge number of factories that were under Israeli attacks. It's like a message that is being sent from Israel to Palestinians that never dream about an economy, never dream about an infrastructure or even local industry. What Israel is doing here is they want to control Gaza. Today, Kerem Shalom, the only border or the only crossing that allows goods inside of Gaza was closed until further notice. Not only that, they also keep on destroying factories. So basically, if we put this picture together, we totally understand the aim of Israel here is to kill the industry in Gaza, to make Gaza go back in 100 years back. They're trying to kill any chance or opportunity for development in Gaza. The way they destroyed and burned the factories actually proved that those people, I don't even know if I can even call those soldiers people anymore, just have one aim, which is to destroy anything that can come out of Gaza. They claim that they're destroying the tunnels. Well, factories are not tunnels. Factories are above the ground, not under the ground. And even if there were tunnels in Gaza, this is Gaza land. Israel has nothing to do with it. And the people are free to build whatever they want under the ground as long as there are no attacks coming from their side. And the attacks only came after the Israeli aggression. So even the excuse of targeting such places because of the tunnels is totally, no one can even buy it, because any country has the entire right to build whatever they want in their land as long as they're not causing any harm to anyone. It was their only way of defense, and they only used those tunnels after Israeli aggression took place. So the entire excuse of destroying factories, killing people because of tunnels is totally nonsense, and it's not even logical anymore.
Thank you so much, Hala Al-Safadi, on the ground in Gaza. Also, thanking our guests, Chicago, Stephen Lindman, and out of Madison, Mr. Kevin Barrett. Again, you were looking at that billowing smoke in Gaza. And, of course, don't go away. I'll be back in less than 4 minutes, and I'll be bringing you the latest on the situation in Gaza and, of course, other parts of the world. Stay with us, and thanks so much for staying with us right here at Press TV.